All right, let me jump over here to my opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue, as we start every single day. And I'll just start by saying I've had some bad experiences with the epic failure of others being shuffled off on me to deal with because nobody else wanted to address it. I've had that experience. I know I've told the story before at some point, but I'll refresh your memory again. So in both of my deployments in the Global War on Terror, I commanded a small team. And both times, my team was built for the deployment. I went with guys that I had not worked with a whole lot before. And there were some solid dudes on my teams. We gelled overall pretty well. We did great things. We were recognized for our work in some very remote and hostile areas of the war zones in both Iraq and Afghanistan. But on both deployments, both times, I had one guy separately, I had a guy on each team in each deployment who was assigned to me that turned out to be a real problem. Now, both times that one guy, one of which was a sergeant on the first rotation and a captain on the second rotation, they were assigned to my team with little notice, but they seemed to be like solid dudes, at least at first. So on both deployments, they quickly became, though, insubordinate, even dangerous. And on both deployments, I got rid of them. I wish I had acted sooner on the first guy, but I learned my lesson and did not delay on the second guy. I learned my lesson and I felt affirmed in it when my team bounced back and hit a new groove without their divisive presence. I also found a quote, though, from General Carl Steiner, one of the founders of U.S. Special Operations. He said, "If you cannot trust a man in combat, you should get rid of him right away." But the real shock for me, though, came when I got rid of them, only to have people come to me later and say they had wondered what I was going to do since they had failed on other teams before mine. What? Yeah, apparently both these guys were prior failures who had been booted off of other teams on previous deployments, but no one wanted to do anything about it. So they just let it be a quiet thing. No real record, no real consequences. Both men got promotions, and they wound up being with me later. Basically, they were allowed to fail up. And the fecklessness of those who let it happen and promoted them anyway put my teams at risk. So let me ask this question. When did it become okay to reward failure with promotion? Because the last I checked, the American dream was built on risk and reward, the idea that achievement is possible, but it'll require work ethic, it'll require decision-making, and a certain amount of willingness to stake one's future on the ability to make good decisions in the present. Well, the American dream is still there, absolutely, I believe it is. But too often we see that in some circles, there's no need for merit. There's no need for achievement. There's no need for even being right. And the place where that is the worst is in government. Working in government, especially in the era of the progressive left's assault on merit through the application of DEI, clearly indicates that if you want to fail up in life, just ask for a government job. Now, before I rile too many ill feelings or ruffle too many feathers, I am fully aware that there are many, many civil servants who work tirelessly in some form of government employment who do great work. They don't ask for recognition. They don't get all the accolades, but they report for duty every morning and they go home tired every night after a full day of doing everything well. But there's also a reason, though, why the epitome of inefficiency is often centered on places like the DMV or the Postal Service or the VA. Because too often a guaranteed government paycheck with no skin in the game and no requirement to show a profit and no corporate taxes on the hook all combines to become a form of like a zombie-like sleepiness that requires no effort. And then you add tenure to the batch sometimes, and you get a constant level of people failing up. But let me just say, the worst among them, though, appear to be appointees to major positions in the Biden administration. I mean, the only person who's ever really had their head put on a chopping block in the Biden-Harris administration for the last 4 years was the ill-fated so-called non-binary fetish expert with the top-secret clearance at the Department of Energy. What was his name? Samuel Brenton. He was all about breaking glass ceilings as he cared for our nuclear power plants until they discovered that his fashion sense was stolen from luggage that he liked to nick from the airport on his government-paid trips. Suddenly he was out because the Biden-Harris administration, well, they broke plenty of glass with him, but it wasn't in the ceiling, if you know what I mean. Has anyone else been fired? Has anyone else in the Biden-Harris administration lost their jobs or been forced to resign for failure? I mean, nobody did from the Afghanistan debacle. Nobody did from the southern border. Nobody did from the economic advisors who ran us into, you know, all kinds of inflation and an economic policy that has ruined the nation for a while. Nobody did from the entire CDC or National Institutes of Health about COVID reaction, and nobody did over COVID vaccine mandates. But the most egregious among them all, the guy who, in my opinion, has failed the most and still survives without a scratch, the guy who presided over the most epic failings of U.S. policy and security without ever once being reprimanded by his alleged boss, is none other than Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas. If ever there was a poster boy for failing up, it's Mayorkas. I mean, let's think about it. Customs and Border Patrol is overwhelmed. The southern border is replete with images of masses of legal migrants storming our borders. Well over 10 million illegals in just 4 years that we know of. An exponential increase is in the number of illegal border crossers who are on the terror watch list and yet still released into our country. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have died from fentanyl trafficked across the border. And the CHNV, the Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Venezuela parole program, is bringing upwards of 30,000 more migrants into the country every single month and just dropping them off in small towns everywhere. Who is it, by the way, that's in charge of our border? Well, that would be DHS Secretary Mayorkas. Or how about this? In recent days, we have seen the Republican candidate for president, a former president himself, Donald Trump, survive two assassination attempts. And one of those attempts actually grazed him with a bullet, and the same shooter that grazed him with a bullet killed one innocent bystander and wounded two others before being taken out by a counter-sniper. Word's getting out right now that the Secret Service ranks are filled with DEI hires, that drone operators have no training, that incident commanders did not coordinate well with local authorities. Oh, by the way, who's in charge of the Secret Service? Oh, yeah, that would be DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. All right, let's do another one. Now we're watching the recovery operations in the Carolinas and the other southern states in the wake of Hurricane Helene. And the death toll is well over 200, with hundreds more missing, as whole regions, whole towns have been wiped out. It is on the scale of Hurricane Katrina in its scope. The Biden-Harris administration waited 5 days before activating military assistance. FEMA did not get on the ground for days. To this day, FEMA states on their website that the number one goal of FEMA is not disaster relief. It is what they call relief equity, whatever that means. And by the way, we're now learning that despite assurances by Mayorkas himself just 3 months ago that FEMA was tremendously prepared, that he is now saying that FEMA does not have the funds to assist Americans in need in the wake of this disaster. Why? Well, because in the past 2 years, FEMA, under his leadership, has spent over $1.4 billion of its dollars supporting illegal immigrants. Who's in charge of FEMA? Well, that'd be none other than DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Look, keep in mind that Congress referred articles of impeachment on Mayorkas to the U.S. Senate earlier this year. For only the second time in U.S. history, a cabinet official was impeached. But a few months later, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer killed that Senate impeachment process to make sure that Mayorkas did not have to face any accountability. So he continued to serve as DHS Secretary, a vaunted position of great authority. And when Biden leaves office, he will likely wind up with some major gig on a news network or working for the UN or with some major liberal law firm or lobbying group. He'll be paid millions to speak to climate rallies and World Economic Forum gatherings in Davos. Because in the Biden-Harris administration, there is no accountability. There is no need for merit. And Alejandro Mayorkas is going to be allowed to continue to fail up all the way to the end at our expense. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.